Shop local, eat local, listen local. This is Max Inc. Radio. We are local music.
Rockstar and Elise is an emerging nostalgia pop project out of Madison led by the mysterious artist Emily AF. Rockstar and Elise blend influences that span Emily's lifetime, weaving together the music of her childhood in the 80s and adding the noise and teeth of 90s indie rock and industrial music. Here to tell us all about nostalgia pop and her band Rockstar and Elise is Emily AF. Emily, welcome to Max Inc. Radio.
Hello. Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks for coming in tonight, Emily.
Thank you.
Were you out and about tonight, this afternoon rather, for the protest here in Madison?
No, we were not. I was in my home recording studio most of the day today. Right. But yeah, I'm so glad so many folks came out for that. That was wonderful to see, because I definitely saw that on all the socials.
Yeah. Yes. It looks like there was an awesome turnout today here in Madison. And it was worldwide rocker, which was, or was countrywide.
Countrywide, yeah.
I mean, the world worldwide now, too. It's getting we'll get there. But there was some good turnout all across the country, actually.
I thought, and it reminded me a little bit of the Act 10 days.
A little bit, yeah.
Emily, the duality of Rockstar and Elise, it's like the duality in your own life. And how did you come up with the band name Rockstar and Elise?
Sure. So I've been a musician forever, going back to the early 90s. And I've known I was a girl. I'm a trans person. And I've known I was a girl since I was about five or so. And maybe 1999 or 2000, I had a bunch of catalogs, as you did back then, because there wasn't really the best internet.
Before the internet.
And so I had, you know, all these gear catalogs from like Sweetwater and Full Compass and all that stuff. And then I had catalogs for like clothing and all of that stuff. And so getting rid of a bunch of that stuff, one night I had a fire. And the next day I noticed that not all of the catalogs had burned up, that there were all these little bits and pieces of like a little burnt pictures, like all scattered all around the fire. And there'd be a little section of a keyboard or a microphone, and then maybe a piece of a dress or a high heel or something like that. And I just looked down in that moment and I just thought, you know, like that's me, that's Rockstar and Elise. And so the music side and then the girl side, as I thought of it back then. I mean, this is, you know, 25 years ago.
Right. This was a house fire, not a campfire, right?
This was, this was a backyard fire.
Oh.
Yeah.
You're burning everything in the backyard.
Yeah, well, I mean, it was, you know, this is out
like the burning things on purpose, right?
On purpose. This is like, you know, having a fire. This is in rural Georgia, so you're having a fire in the backyard with some beers and some friends and whatnot.
Those Georgian people, might like fire down there. And then the Full Compass catalog.
Yeah.
I had a ton of those when I was younger.
Oh, yeah.
We love the Full Compass catalog.
We still get those. Sweetwater will call me, I'm sure. You buy one thing from them.
Oh, yeah. They show up in your feed,
they
too.
They do.
Oh. Emily, as a transgender artist, you felt it important to talk about the impact of current political climate when it comes to LGBTQ plus individuals. Talk about how this impacts you and the greater community.
Sure. I mean, I think the most important thing is that, like, being trans is like the 20th or 30th most important thing about me. Like, I had an opportunity one time to hold and smell Tom Waits' hat. And that's like so much more important to my like origin story than being trans is.
Yes.
But like this moment that we're in right now, where the federal government is literally erasing every speck of data about trans people from all government websites, including the Stonewall Memorial or Stonewall Monument site. And then it's increasingly just illegal for me to be places. Like, I'm going to have to tour in the fall, and I can be arrested for using a bathroom like all over the country in places. So
how are you dealing with that? I mean, I've talked to other artists here in Madison who are also trans, and you know, they're impacted deeply by this, and
it's terrifying.
Yeah. I can only imagine.
And I see people, you know, like I've got a large community of fans and followers on social media, and a lot of them are trans, and seeing folks in a lot of these really red states where they have lost access to healthcare. And like, I think that's one of the most chilling things. I mean, it's terrible to think about being arrested for doing something, but to have your ability to be alive taken away. So,
I mean, your civil rights and your personal well-being is at stake here. You know,
I mean,
you're going to have to, you know, budget for bodyguards or something. It's going to tour, you know?
I know. Yeah.
Just don't tour in unfriendly places.
I mean, Cat in the Hurricane is out in the road right now, and they've got shows in Kentucky and some other places. And I think, you know, those folks, they're all they're all awesome. And I think, you know, when it's my turn to go, I'm going to just have a lot of conversations with some people. And
the good news is there are pockets of good people
everywhere.
Yeah, exactly.
All everywhere. And, absolutely, and everywhere.
That's the hope, or the, you know, the glimmer.
You just
got to
make
hope,
from island to island. And eventually this madness will be over one day.
Hopefully.
Now, Emily, your music has gained over 30,000 views on Spotify, and there are a lot of people digging this nostalgia pop. What do you think fuels this? Tell us about your fan base.
I mean, we all look at the past through like rose-colored glasses, you know, and especially like I think they're like we really romanticize the 80s and 90s for some people. And, you know, to be fair, like it wasn't great to be like a gay or whatever in like 1985. I mean, that was a really dark time. But, you know, like people listen to back on that, like all of the synthesizers and melodies and all of that stuff. And it just feels like a better time. And now for so many people is such a terrible, the world is such a terrible place that when you, you know, you put on those records and you go back and listen to Madonna or some whatever, you know, and it just takes you to what feels like a better place for 3.5 minutes or whatever.
Now, Emily, you have been a sound engineer since 2002. You were talking about going out on tour, but your tagline is arena level production on the small stage. Tell us about being an audio engineer.
I love that slogan.
Yeah, thank you. So I think the big thing that I've learned from like all of my years and like thousands of shows is that like you can have a band like the Pixies, which are they're great musicians. I love their music, but if you go watch them, and if any of them are listening, I'm so sorry, but they're really boring to watch because they just stand there and, you know, they just stand there and they play their songs and stuff. And that's great. And they sound great. And they're the Pixies and they're amazing. But, you know, we've all been to shows where like it's transformative. And for me, like being at front of house, especially, although I'm a monitor engineer also, and like a venue that's packed, I was at monitors for the Respect show at Majestic last week.
Yeah.
And there were like 600 people in there.
Yeah,
and
it looked great.
It was amazing. And that kind of energy, like it is that it is, it's hard to describe. It's electric. And so that for me, like that's what I'm trying to, every choice I make with the Rockstar and Elise show and what I'm planning for that is through the lens of somebody who has seen and worked thousands of shows and knows what looks good, what sounds good and stuff. Because I love the Pixies, but I don't want to be them on stage.
You know, it's interesting you brought that up because we were just talking to Des Graham from Rock Constant in the 6 o'clock hour. And one of the things they judge Rocker is, you know, the wow factor, the stage presence. And, you know, I like, you know, bands that just stand on stage and do nothing. You know, they're fun, but but it's more fun to go to a show where there's a show to watch along with the music, you know, give us a stage presence.
We want to see you do a trick that you can only do once.
Yeah.
So, you know, you have a Taylor Swift and a Nine Inch Nails obsession. How do they coexist?
I see that.
I would go a little, I mean, I grew up with like Skinny Puppy and Ministry in the early 90s and stuff. And so like, I've always like Nine Inch Nails was always really important to me growing up. And, I still love their stuff a lot, and I love their stage show. Just to talk, you know, to bring that energy into it again, and Taylor Swift is just great. I especially love her like her Red album because again, like I grew up with a lot of bluegrass stuff, and I worked in country music some early in my career, and I love that like pop country sound. So I'm like a real collection of a lot of interesting things. I just love all of this stuff. So.
Right now, we just got a couple of singles. What's your discography like? Do you have?
I've got, I think, 9 songs out right now since last June. It may be a fewer because I did a couple of re-release. It's something like between 9 and 11 because I put out a soundtrack record in October.
And we're gonna play Time Machines to talk about that in just a second. But any plans for future music? Are you working on new stuff right now?
Oh yeah,
an album coming out, or are you just doing singles?
I'm doing singles right now. I'm so excited about my next single. It's called Freeway. I worked with Chris Wagner on this.
The Moon Gypsies.
Yes. I first worked with him like 20 years ago, and just. I knew I had to have him for this, and I hung out with him at DNA Studios for about 5 hours last Friday on launch day for Time Machines, and we tracked all this stuff for my song Freeway, which is like it's kind of like Peter Gabriel and Alison Krauss, but like Churches and some other, like, it's that same kind of Taylor Swift thing where there's country elements and pop music all together with this retro vibe.
And Chris Wagner, he must be playing mandolin.
He's playing mandolin. I predominantly got him for fiddle and for dobro.
Oh yeah. Okay.
So yeah, he's tremendous.
And are you shooting any videos at all for your music?
I haven't done videos yet. I'm going to be doing, the live show is going to have a fully synchronized video per song playing back behind me. Kind of like, imagine like Nine Inch Nails, Downward Spiral to where like Hurt looking sort of stuff.
And you also work with a drummer.
I do.
Or live at least, right?
For live, yep. It'll be me and a drummer and possibly a guitar player.
Give the drummer some. Who's your drummer?
Right now I'm talking with Sean Pierce from the band Heavy Looks.
Oh, okay.
We met... I don't know, a year ago or something like that, and just really gelled. And I've really been looking for a strong, like a 90s aesthetic drummer, like Dave Grohl, but without like all the extra families. I don't know. He's an amazing player. So that's, I don't know. I'm hoping we can make that work.
This drummer right here.
Yes.
He's on the spot, Jimmy.
I love Heavy Looks.
Yeah. Yeah, Heavy Looks is so rad. Yeah.
Oh, well, thank you so much for coming down to talk to us tonight. We really appreciate
it. Yeah, thank you so much.
And you can find Rockstar and Elise online at Rockstar Elise, and that's RockstarELise.com.
Yep.
Emily, the next song we're going to play is your newest single, and it's called Time Machines. We were just talking about it. But in the short time it's been out, it has over 11,000 plays on Spotify. Tell us about this song before we take a listen.
Definitely. This is a really personal song to me, especially as a queer woman. But I think for me, the song is about going back. Like the line you're about to hear is, I want to go back and help myself find myself a little bit earlier. And this whole idea about wanting to go and let myself know that I can be the person that I want to be and like not have to wait 20 years. Like, that's the only regret I have about anything. But I think so a lot of my fans are queer or trans, and but for anybody, like, we all have something. We would go back and we would just, like, if I could just do this one thing, if I could go ask that girl on a date, or if I could, like, whatever, maybe this cat's terrible, maybe I wish I picked a different cat.
decision points.
So it's like, I don't know. And it was a battle. It took me over a year to finish the song. And I don't know. I'm just really excited with how
it. Do you record this at home or do you?
I do. Yeah. My home studio is called Too Dark Studios. Mm. And that's where I do all of my own production and stuff. And I've got pictures of that on the website for anybody that's interested.
Too Dark Studios. You need a couple light bulbs at all?
I have lots of indirect lighting in there. Too Dark Park is my favorite Skinny Puppy record. So that's where that comes from. But I hang out there whenever I'm not working or doing other stuff and working on songs.
Well, let's check it out right now. This Time Machine, Rockstar and Elise. It's Max Inc. on Civic Media. We are local music.
I want to go back to help myself find myself a little bit earlier. Just a little bit earlier. There were a few things that it took me a bit long to realize.